For a text this morning in the first book of John, John 1, and beginning with chapter 4, and beginning with verse 7 and reading through verse 16. That's so 1 John chapter 4 and beginning with the 7th verse and reading the words in Jesus' name. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we know that these are your words, and they are spoken through the grace that you have given to us, and they are spoken in the name of our Lord. So, Father, we ask that even at this time that you would give us a message, that you would speak to us and allow us to understand how loving and how caring that you are. And at this time in this season that is coming upon us, where we are celebrating the birth of our salvation, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that, Father, that we would turn to each and every time that we are confronted, and that we would proclaim that love that you have for all mankind. Father, we ask that you would reveal these words to us and speak to us through them. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle John that wrote this, he is known as the Savior, or the one that Jesus loved the best. Anything that he's written is about love and compassion. He is the apostle of love, as some have called him. But he also warns, and he warns those who have maybe strayed, or those who have not come into this kingdom of God, that the road that they are traveling on is full of danger. And in warning them, it's not done with a hammer and a chisel or anything on that order, but it's done with compassion and care and love. He said, he starts out in this first verse, or the first verse that we read, the verse 7, there's actually three different thoughts just within that one verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. God's love, and I know we've talked, it has been spoken of many times, and I believe agape is the term that is used I believe it's the Greek language, and it's significant, has a significant meaning. But I found something that in the studies that makes a lot of sense and really explains it, at least for me, quite clearly. God's love is self-giving. It's given to anybody and everybody who is willing to accept it. It is a sacrificial concern for another person. That's what God's love is. Sacrificial concern. What did God have to sacrifice? He sacrificed his Son because he was concerned. He was concerned for what? for us, for another person, if you will, for another entity or another, whatever term you want to put on it. That's God's love. That's not the love that we as humans some experience all the time. And not necessarily, and I'm not saying that that's not the love that God shows towards us, but I'm talking about the love that we would show towards one another. Well, if you treat me good, or if you do something for me, then I'm going to be able to love you. No, that's not how God works. It's self-giving. It's a sacrificial concern for another's purse, for another person. It's something that just because you don't agree with me, or just because I don't agree with you, or just because you have done something to me, doesn't mean that I can't continue to love, or that I shouldn't continue to love. And this is this kind of is the message that John is giving throughout this text. But then the second point on this verse, where it says that for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. Well, how is it that we are, how is it that we have been born of God? How is it that we can say even this morning that we are Christians and that we have faith and that Christ died for us? Well, to start with, it's through baptism. Because God's grace has been bestowed upon each and every one of us by the water and blood of Christ. And it's through God's word. And that grace has been given. And we are forgiven. Now, we have a choice to accept it. We have that choice. But it's there. It has been given to us freely. And all we have to do is accept it. But another way is through the preaching of God's word. There are times where someone who may come in and not really having ever really understood God or understood what God was about, but yet there's something going on. There's something that's going on in the head. I experienced that with a friend of mine who at that time I don't believe was a Christian. I believe he would probably acknowledge that, but I saw the struggle that he went through. I witnessed it. And it was a struggle of acceptance. Do I accept Christ? Do I accept what he has done for me? Or do I continue on that path that I've been walking on, which was not according to God's word? That struggle can be awful tough. But the reason why he was going through that struggle is because he heard the preaching of God's word. And the Holy Spirit was able to speak to him. And in today's vernacular, you might say he laid a guilt trip on him that just no one could ever understand unless they experienced it. But it was through God's words, the spoken word of God, that was the attraction. And then the other thought, the third one, the one that loveth is born of God and knows God. Well, how does that happen? How do we know God this morning? It's through faith. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. And through that faith, the Holy Spirit reveals who God is and reveals the love and compassion that God has for us. For us to love God, we can't do it of ourselves. It cannot happen because of our physical being, what it is, for we are born to sin. But it's through the faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and teaching that we know who God is and we understand what he has done for us. And that's something that we have to grab a hold of and hang on to. He that loves not does not know God. And for God is love. It's kind of hard to understand what love is if you don't have never experienced it. It's hard to understand what the feeling that love can give if you've never experienced it. And for those who experience it for the first time, it's an overwhelming feeling. It's an overwhelming feeling of just compassion and love. It's a feeling of just something that really cannot be put into words. But it is just that. It's a feeling. And that's what God gives to us even this morning. And in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That is the epitome of love. That is the love that God has for us. This was made known, or the love of God was made known toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And that's the only way that we can do it. We cannot live according to God's word and according to God's will and according to his way without Christ. It can't happen. It just will not happen. You have to have that faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit living within you in order to be able to say that you're a Christian. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We can't just say, well, yeah, I love God. Okay, prove it. Prove that you love him. How would you do that? It would be through your life. It would be through your expression. What type of a life do you live when you step outside of the church doors? Do you go about and start going back into your, and I'm looking back on my own life, do you go out and say, okay, well, that's another Sunday gone, that's another sermon preached that I only heard half of or a third of, and I went on to go on about my business and do the work that I'm doing or whatever it happens to be, and then come Saturday and Friday night, Saturday, and oh boy, I've got to go to church again on Sunday. No, that's not how. That's not what this is talking about. It's not that we loved him. It's that he loves us. And that's the thing. Even though we would have to live or possibly be living in that mindset, if you could call it. Even though that we could be living in that way, that well, I know I'm going, but I'm going to go to church, but only because I know I'm supposed to. No, that's not the reason. And yet God continues to love us. God continues to look upon us with sympathy, with compassion. He first loved us. And then he said, and here it says that, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That term, that propitiation, it's always mystified me. And it's written that way in several different translations, and that same word is used. What is the propitiation? And again, I found something that explains it quite clearly, at least for me. It's satisfaction for the demands of God's law. You think about it. Why did Christ have to come to earth? It was for the sins of mankind. But he had already had a program set out in the Old Testament. Okay, you got to do this, 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 that, and the other if you've done this, 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 that, or the other. And this is the type of gift that you have to bring. And And people fell short constantly, even as we fall short today. So Christ came and died for our sins. He died, and his death was the satisfaction for the demands of God's law. And that's what they weren't. That's what they were. They were demands. They weren't suggestions. They weren't something, well, I think you really need to go out and do this, and if you do, then okay, everything will be fine. No, this is what you shall do. This is how you are to react. This is what you're going to do in order to have your sin forgiven in the Old Testament times. Christ's death on the cross satisfied God's law. He satisfied the demands of his law, because that was the perfect sacrifice. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It's pretty point blank. There's no getting around that. There's no, well, yeah, but you don't know what, no. I do know what I did to my Savior. And I do know why Christ had to come. I cannot in any way, shape, or form come up with any type of an excuse. If God loved me that much, then I ought also to love one and love each other, or love those who are around me. But not only my Christian friends, not only those who I walk with, those who I consider to be even here this morning, and but those who I knew when I was a kid, the nose of the congregation that I left in Florida, but to love all people as God has loved all people. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Easy words to say, awful hard at times to do. And yet that's where the spirit of prayer comes in. Acknowledging through the Holy Spirit that give me the strength to do, and have the Holy Spirit speak to you that, hey, that person is every bit as worthy of God's love as you are and or were. There's no difference. There's no difference at all. And God's love and his word is still calling that one that may not know him. Because there still is time. There still is time for that to happen. But I believe that the time is getting very, very short. And it's something that we need to be concerned of. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. No man has seen God. No man has ever laid eyes on him. But if we love one another, God dwells in us. He's a part of us. The Trinity, God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, dwells inside of each and every one of us. God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us, not because of anything that we have done, but because of our faith in Christ. That's where the perfection comes in. And then he goes on, and beginning with verse 13 and through the end of what we read through 16, it deals with the Trinity. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. We didn't have to pay for it. We didn't have to do something to attain it. We didn't have to do some miraculous deed. No, it was given to us freely because we acknowledged that Christ is our Savior. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We agree and do testify. We've seen it. We've seen it through the eyes of faith. And in this case, John saw it. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John saw it physically. We see it spiritually. And yet we still have the same understanding that Christ is the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Think of that. Think of it. Just, there's one little thing that, or, well, it isn't little, but just in the grand scheme of things. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he dwells in God. Confess that Christ is God's Son. Without doubt, without hesitation, without thinking, well, am I sure? No, confess that Jesus is God's Son. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Kind of a reiteration of verse 7. God is the love that we have to look at. His love is the self-giving love. We didn't have to go and ask him for it. We didn't have to go in and say that, well, I've done what this book tells me to do, so now, you know, give me that love that you promised. No, it doesn't work that way. That love that God has for us, it's already been provided. And it's been provided to us through baptism. And that sacrificial concern that I spoke of at first, that sacrificial concern was that sacrifice that God sent on the cross. And he sent it for what? For another person. He sent it for us. That's God's love. That's not something else that can ever be done by anyone else. It has to be and will be and has been done by God. Love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. See, that's the beauty of it. God is right there. He's right there. Because we may not feel it, because we may see something happening and saying, well, gee, I don't know how that's going to turn out for me. God's right there. He knows how it's going to turn out. And he just asks us to trust. To trust in him and believe in what he has done. Believe that he is indeed and does indeed have our best interest. And that best interest is that we will be with him one day in heaven, because we have believed in what his Son did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.